Untangling Pandas and Pans is a podcast about two little-known medical disorders characterized by the sudden and dramatic onset of symptoms such as obsessions and compulsions, vocal or motor tics, and restricted eating behaviors, and a whole host of other symptoms following a strep or other bacterial or viral infection. I have the privilege of interviewing some of the top researchers and clinicians in this rapidly growing area, known by various names such as immune-mediated neuropsychiatric disorders, infection-associated neuroimmune disorders, and autoimmune encephalitis, or simply PANDAS and PANS. My name is Dr. Susan Manful. I am a social psychologist, the executive director of the Alex Manful Fund, and the mother of Alex Manful, who died at 26 years old due to PANDAS, a disorder my husband and I knew next to nothing about, certainly not that our daughter could die from it.
This is bonus content for episode 2 of Untangling PANDAS PANS. Recorded April 25th, 2024.
Welcome back. I continued to talk with Dr. Williams and Andrew after we thought we had wrapped up episode 2. This bonus content captured some of that conversation, primarily musings about navigating the medical system. We thought you'd like to hear some of it. Andrew, you told me that, coming from a family of physicians who could help you navigate, but they were not successful, and that because of you not responding to the treatment, that you sometimes felt that people weren't listening to you, or they were blaming the patient, shaming the patient. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and it's sort of ties back to what Dr. Williams was talking about earlier, that there's definitely, at least there has been, the kind of your conventional medical community and the psychiatric community are a little separated. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the challenges, not only for my experience, but also for my family, is that that it was within the ecosystem of medicine, but it was a language that my father didn't particularly understand, in that psychiatry used to be a pretty scary place for a lot of people, including, fellow physicians. And I could say from my own experience that there weren't a battery of tests. Mm-hmm. When I went to see a psychiatrist, it was anecdotal. So it was what I was communicating. It was what was observed. And I think that within itself is a, significant departure from what, say, a surgeon would expect to see or experience. So it was very challenging for my family, because what I was expressing and conveying was disturbing. I wasn't getting better. And in fact, some of the treatments made the psoriasis quite significantly worse. And, I wound up in this category of sort of not otherwise specified, almost like, you're either making this stuff up or there's no hope for you. I don't mean to laugh, but it was that kind of, that's where I lived for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's very challenging, or it was. I don't know if things have changed, but it was during that time, it was very difficult to figure out what the best course of action was. And it was unfortunate that the course of action that was recommended to, my parents and to me didn't, have a positive outcome. And we spent a lot of time and a lot of money, and we did have access to the best healthcare that the United States had to offer, and my situation didn't improve. So that's, obviously going to come with some negative emotions. And it was, it's very difficult for me. But the good news is that I made it through without being completely incapacitated, in that, the world is a very different place now in medicine and in research. And for me, this is tremendously exciting. and that, you know, I'm happy to be in a position to share my story and to, you know, it was incredibly satisfying and to connect with Dr. Williams and with you, Susan, to be able to, you know, to express myself and to be, you know, to be heard, and also the notion that it would lead, you know, potentially to a situation that could benefit others or, you know, benefit research, that's makes, believe it or not, makes it all worth it.
I think your story is extremely powerful, and I think that Kyle's research will yield some very significant results so that other people don't have to go through what you've gone through. I'd like to think that times have changed too, and that we are beginning to understand the role of infection and the immune system in the presentation of psychiatric symptoms. Just yesterday, there was an article in The Economist. I don't know if either one of you saw it, but it's entitled Many Mental Health Conditions Have Bodily Triggers. I can send this to both of you. And it included an interview with Dr. Belinda Lennox, who's the head of psychiatry at the University of Oxford. She attracted some attention last June in an article in which she suggested that psychiatry must change radically. Mm-hmm. And she's saying here that hopefully that we are on the verge of a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. And the author goes on to say, the author of the article, who is Natasha Loader, the health editor at The Economist. She goes on to say something, Kyle, I'm wondering if you will comment on. I don't think you fall into this category at all, based on my conversations with you and the very research that you're doing in the patients who you're treating. But she said that many of the field's problems could be resolved by relaxing the distinctions that exist today between neurology, which studies and treats physical, structural, and functional disorders of the brain, and psychiatry, which deals with mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders. Dr. Lennox goes on to say that she finds it extraordinary that the treatment options differ so completely if a patient ends up in a neurology ward or a psychiatry ward. She wants antibody testing to be more routine in Britain when, not just without reason, but when someone presents with a sudden post-viral mental illness that does not get better with standard treatments. So just wondering, as a psychiatrist, and I would say the same thing to the neurologist if we were interviewing one, but any thoughts about how psychiatry can change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll try to keep them short. So I agree with that. I think you could actually open it up more just to say that we draw the distinction between mental health, physical health. We draw a distinction between medicine and psychiatry sometimes that I think are all artificial, because our behavior and our mood and our cognition are produced by the same mechanisms that our movement, our autonomic nervous system, you know, all of the things that are governing what we would call, you know, a related neurology field, those same cell, you know, there are obviously different types of subcells and specializations in different regions of the brain, but it's the same basic mechanism. So our behavior, our cognition, our mood is a product of an organ, right? It's a product of the brain. And it can go wrong in the same way that our movement can go wrong, our cognition can go wrong, and dementia and all the other ways. And so we call it sort of mental health or psychiatry, but it's the function of an organ the same way that cardiology is the function of the heart. And so I think that for me, it just means that psychiatry, it just shouldn't be off on an island as far as considering the interplay between other systems in medicine, or the immune system, or the immune system couldn't do that, or an infection couldn't do that, meaning an infection couldn't change behavior, or, you know, the immune system couldn't be involved in X, Y, and Z as far as cognition or emotion or things like that. There's no reason why it couldn't. And in fact, there are examples that we're finding every year about how significantly involved they all are. So yeah, I think that there still are these pathways in medicine where you sort of get, it determines sometimes the types of doctors and teams that you see. These symptoms mean you're going to go this route. If you have symptoms that we think are consistent with psychosis, you're going to go and see a psychiatrist. Whereas if you have sudden onset dementia or confusion or a change in mental status in that way, you may go see a neurologist because it could be a stroke or it could be a different type of autoimmune condition. I think the real limitation right now is that psychiatrists in general, we are not trained for the most part in ordering antibody panels, ordering tests. We don't know if we should order them on everybody or if it should be a targeted thing. I think it's getting better, but we're just in general not as adept as we need to be. And then when it comes to treating those things, then we really rely on other fields, right? If we think that, you know, and again, there's a lot of research and a lot of things that would need to be done prior to making the statement true. But if we think that certain people's OCD could be treated by Cosentyx, they need to come and see me or someone to say, okay, you have OCD and this is really truly OCD. And then also you need to go see this other person who's been trained in using Cosentyx or is familiar with sort of like, so it takes the integration of these systems in a way that right now is still not built in, I think, to the degree that it should be, in order to recognize who needs these kind of specialty treatments and testing, and then a group approach about how do we use these therapies and who is actually tracking to see if the symptoms are improving. If the person who is usually prescribing Cosentyx is very adept at knowing if your psoriasis improved, that's great. But do they also are they trained or are they working with someone who's asking questions about is your OCD improving, you know, or is your mental health still? We still make these distinctions in a way that one, you know, a group of people or one person is usually not doing both of those, sort of the full scale of it.
So a much more multidisciplinary approach, or at least a bigger bag of tools for each specialty. I mean, for example, I think of a dermatologist. Does a dermatologist know to ask someone with chronic psoriasis if they have evidence of OCD?
Probably not.
Would that make sense? Well, I think it probably would.
It may make sense. It depends on the amount of time and everything else too that these things take. But the other thing too is that I think people, and we're all patients also, but we kind of train ourselves to bring up the things that this doc does. Am I going to go into my dermatologist and talk about my depression or my psoriasis? Maybe am I going to talk about those things, or am I going to say, okay, I've got X amount of time and I need this medication because my psoriasis is really bad right now and I really need that solved. I may not bring up these other aspects in a way that the person makes those connections because we sort of train ourselves to bring up these things with these people and these other things with these other people who are going to treat this other condition.
Right. And in fact, the insurance companies reinforce that. I've been told in a previous doctor's office, well, no, you're here for this reason. If you want to talk about that reason, then you need to make another appointment. Okay. So you guys, wow. Just an amazing conversation with both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information about Pandas and Pans and the Alex Manful Fund, please listen to the following one-minute public service announcement and visit thealexmanfulfund.org.
Hello, my name is Terry Downing. My daughter Tessa waited far too long, 13 years ago, to be diagnosed and treated when she began to suffer from a disease called PANS PANDAS. PANDAS stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Strep Infections. Yes, strep throat. Tessa is forever damaged because of her delayed diagnosis. But there is hope. and she is a hero in my eyes.
The Alex Manful Fund is an organization created by two parents who lost their daughter Alex to pandas. Countless doctors failed to recognize Alex's condition in the 7 years after her obsessions and compulsions began following a bout of strep. Early diagnosis and treatment saves lives, so they created the Alex Manful Fund. The fund supports important research like the Georgetown Brain Bank and education about pandas and PANS. Parents have begun to recognize pandas in their children and are accessing an accurate diagnosis and treatment more and more. To learn more about pandas and PANS, please visit www.thealexmanfulfund.org.
The content in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.